Good day. Here at Brookings Radio, we welcome Brookings City Council candidate Brianna Doran. And Brianna is a candidate for the one-year council seat. Just a quick reminder, there are three races, in fact, for Brookings City Council, a one-year, a two-year, and a three-year. And Brianna is running for the one-year. And the first question, Brianna, why are you running for City Council?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great question. So I'll start with a little background on myself and then what I hope to do on council. So I came to Brookings in 2014 by way of SDSU. After graduation, I chose to stay and reinvest in this town and call Brookings my forever home. I jumped in right away in community service. I became a chamber ambassador, 1 Million Cups host, mentor with BCYMP, chair of the Disability Awareness Committee, and a lot of other leadership roles. And I also sit on the Brookings Council of Nonprofits and the Mental Health Coalition. And through that volunteer service and then my professional work at United Way, I saw a different reality that some of our families are facing surrounding the challenges of food insecurity, housing, workforce, transportation, childcare, a lot of those big ticket issues that we talk about in the city council and within the community. And I saw the importance of collaboration and partnership and that innovative thinking that's needed in trying to inch away at these generational problems. And so then I got involved in local politics and seeing how policy can have that strong effect on it and how we can bring in the city as one of those strong partners. And I saw that the one-year position was going to be open, and that's actually a really critical year in starting these solutions or continuing the solutions that are started by the city council. And two of those big opportunities for those solutions are going to be the housing study and then the economic spending study or the community spending study. And those are going to have direct recommendations to the city council based on workforce development and community spending as well as housing.
And we'll talk about more about those.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no problem. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually from Rapid City.
So South Dakota native?
Yes. Yep. Born and raised.
And we will get into some of the issues now. And the first one I have is affordable / workforce housing. And what can the council do? Because it is limited in what the council can do, but obviously there are some things. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few things we can do. So one of them that we can do directly is continue to take advantage of TIF districts, which is a tax levying opportunity. We can also look at, you know, some zoning changes. So that's actually a step that the council just took where they shifted back to smaller lots, and that's going to allow higher density housing. I touched on the housing study, which is going to have recommendations. And then that final piece is funding. We currently fund nonprofits, external programs, and those can be really effective. You know, I'm a Habitat homeowner partner, and I wouldn't be able to own a home in Brookings without programs like that. So funding those initiatives and then having a seat at those tables as well and seeing how we can continue to collaborate, because sometimes it's not a policy change, but it's promotion or education or just offering an insight. So there's a lot of different ways we can move those conversations forward.
Brookings has received about $4.4 million in pandemic relief funding. Some of that's already been spent. Some is assigned to specific things. But as you mentioned, there is a survey out there for spending the rest of it or some of it. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on where that might go?
Sure. So when you get a pot of money like that, you never want to spend it on ongoing operations, but instead you look at those one-time initiatives. So when I look at what the city is facing, I see a lot of capital improvement projects that need to be worked on, and I look at public safety. The police station is a big project that needs to be focused on. You know, we need to make sure that our first responders are adequately supported, and through infrastructure is a big one. I think there's a lot of other opportunities that may come up through that economic spending study that we just are not aware of right now, but we need to look at what's kind of been placed on that back burner and what would really move our community forward.
What are your thoughts on the way the city council handled the pandemic and where we might go from here?
All right. You know, from a resident standpoint and from my work in the nonprofit sector, I think that the community really did come together, and it was a novel situation, and it was really hard on a lot of families and a lot of businesses. And, you know, hindsight is 2020. So I can see that as a community, I think we stayed resilient. With the city council, I saw that public health was a priority, but as a result of, you know, it being novel, it being a really scary situation and continuing in our community, a lot of division was created. And we saw that from the mental health perspective of pandemic fatigue and facing loss of jobs and loss of family members. And that can absolutely create those feelings in someone. So I see an opportunity now looking forward of a lot of community members feel listened to and a lot don't. And so we can have an opportunity to make sure that we are proactive in listening to all community members and understanding how we can have a conversation together and getting back to that discourse of how we can tackle these future problems and making sure that everyone does feel listened to and that we do understand. We just may make different decisions, but that doesn't mean that they're not being ignored.
City of Brookings recently completed a master park plan. One of the top priorities identified by the residents of Brookings was an indoor rec facility. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something the city can or should do?
Yeah, so this was actually asked at the forum too. So the biggest disagreement with that facility is how to fund it. And I think it's going to come with a private and public partnership. Just because we want to be really smart in our investments as a city. And like I said, there's a lot of capital projects out there that we also need to focus on. One of the statements that I hear a lot in the community, you know, when I ask community members, what do they want in Brookings or what do they like in Brookings? They always say, you know, I want a safe home I can afford. I want a good job. And then that third statement is I want to have fun in town. So I understand that when we have facilities like that, people will stay in town on the weekend. They'll spend their time. They'll stay in Brookings long term, too, because they feel engaged. With a rec facility, I think we have a lot of opportunities right now that we can even improve or continually evaluate until we work towards like a funding source for a new facility. We have the Larson Ice Center, we have the Swiftall Center. You know, we have partnerships at SDSU where we can have those live events and we have a great parks and rec system. But I know that, you know, maybe a facility is a good opportunity to pursue in the future. It's just looking at our land and how we can develop that smartly, how we can find that funding source, and then how we can maintain that funding source too, because we have to look at staffing, keeping those programs accessible physically and financially for families, and then just maintaining the structure and utilities too. So funding is that biggest piece that we still need to work on.
State's in the midst of the rollout of medical marijuana. It's going pretty slowly. I think almost anyone would agree with that. City has approved 3 licenses so far. The council decided not to limit the number of licenses by a strict number, limited somewhat by zoning. Do you think that's the way to handle it? And what are your thoughts on the way the city is handling medical marijuana establishments right now?
Yeah. You know, I think with local control, we're still kind of seeing what our guidance is and what our boundaries are with the state, because it's going to be this huge partnership and working all together. From what I've heard of residents, you know, I've heard mainly support. That doesn't mean that other opinions are out there. That's just what I've heard so far. And so I see that right now we are following our guidelines. We are implementing it well. It still feels kind of like it's in limbo because we're still working through it. So I think it's going to be honestly such an evolving situation that I think it, in my opinion, you know, could change based on community feedback in just a few more months or weeks of working through this. And so I think that's going to be something that we have to continually check in on. One, are we complying just with the guidelines, and are we doing this smartly in the community? And I think the community has a really big input in that aspect.
It's been difficult because no one really knows what the market is even going to be.
Yeah.
Including those opening establishments.
Yep. Yeah.
Other than those things we've talked about, what do you see as the most pressing need for Brookings?
So I think it goes back to those 3 things that I said before, that I want a good home. And those 3 statements basically translate to housing, workforce development, and then entertainment, recreational facilities. And whenever we talk about key priorities, I always mention those 3 because it's really a community conversation. You know, when we look at housing, it's that accessible housing. And so it's not just finding a home that they can afford, but it's maintaining that home. So we have to look at mental health, childcare, transportation, food insecurity, all of those basic needs. And so I think the biggest priority as a community is making sure that, one, we are maintaining what we are running right now. We always want to be smart in our budget and just in our evaluation of the community. And then it's continuing to look at workforce development and housing and how they work together, too. Because as a city, you know, we have those roles that we talked about, but we also have a lot of great partners in a lot of different sectors that are actively doing that work too. So it's making sure that we're listening to them and supporting their conversations and work as well.
One final question. When voters go to the polls April 12th, why should they vote Brianna Doran?
So I'll talk about with the one-year term, like I said, it's not a trial year. You need someone who is pretty prepared and informed on day one, because you have to be able to make some long-term decisions with those studies, as well as just everything else that we talked about. And so you need someone who has connections in the community and who has connections on council as well to work actively as a team together. I have a proven track record in this community, and my biggest thing is I love Brookings, but as much as I love it, I know that I have to back it up with action, and I feel that I have done that. And I feel that I can also do more on council and actively supporting the work that is already being done. And so I'm not signing up to change the world, but I'm setting out to do the work.
Brianna Doran, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right here at Brookings Radio.